You may be sitting. If you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, my subject, you can walk with God. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God, and it's such a great thrill to have his presence with you and in you. But think about that. You can walk with God. The Bible says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And according to most biblical scholars, from the time of Adam until the present day, it's about 7,000 years. And so since one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day, many biblical scholars believe that we are the generation that will experience the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Genesis 5, beginning in verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Look at verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Look at verse 14. All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Look at verse 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. My subject, you can walk with God. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We honor you and we worship you, Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we come into your presence that we've already been seated together in heavenly places. Open our hearts and our ears to hear the infallible word of God. Teach us, lead us, guide us, show us things to come. Empower us to gather the end time harvest. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of these people, they lived a long, long time. And everyone in this account that I read you, they all had something in common. They all died except Enoch. The Bible doesn't say that Enoch died. It says God took him. Now, you and I as the church, we know that Enoch and Elijah both got out of this world without dying. And you and I as the people of God, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We may have something in common with Enoch and Elijah. The event that I'm referring to is the catching away or the rapture of God's church. And there's not a more beautiful picture of this in the Bible than Genesis chapter 5 and a man named Enoch. Enoch was caught up into heaven. He didn't experience a death. He had a departure. I love that. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, it's better for me to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He got a glimpse and looked over into the glory world. And he said, I want to go, but I need to stay because it's more profitable for you if I stay. But he had this longing in his heart to depart and to be with his Savior that he met on the Damascus Road. I know you can think back to where you met him and how he gloriously transformed your life. But Enoch, he didn't experience a death. He had a departure. He was translated. He was caught up and he was raptured away. He walked with God and he was not because God took him. Now, many times we look at these Old Testament characters and we don't realize it. But the days that they lived in, they were very similar to the day and the age that you and I live in today. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Adam was still living when Enoch was born. Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. He was just a young man, 622 years old. Sin had not taken its toll on the earth at that time as it has in our day, and so mankind, they lived much, much longer. Seth, Adam's thirdborn, was 492 years old when Enoch was born. Jared, Enoch's father, was 162 years old when Enoch was born. But thank God for what the Bible says about Enoch. He had a testimony. He walked with God. He pleased God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the first thing that I want you to see this morning concerning Enoch and the rapture of the church is Enoch and his time. I want us to look at Enoch and his time. What were the days like when Enoch lived upon this earth? And I want you to note that the days that Enoch lived upon this earth, they were very similar to the day and age that you and I live in today. It's just like today. There was a great falling away. There was a great falling away in Enoch's day, just as there's a great falling away in our day. You know, when you look at the church, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the second coming of the Lord. And because of COVID-19, many people, they have not returned to the church. They sat at home. They sat in front of a TV screen or a computer screen, and they have church. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can get information there, but you cannot come and worship with the body of Christ together in the house of God and get the miracle-working power of God sitting at home. We use YouTube. We use Facebook Live. We use anything and everything we can to get the gospel out. We've got it going right now on Willie Radio. Hallelujah. But come on out to Westmoreland. I promise you, you'll enjoy yourself in the Lord. And if you don't, I'll give you a refund. God bless you. Hallelujah. I used to tell them that when I taught a Sunday school class. I had the old folks class, and I was just a young whippersnapper back then, young and in my prime. And I had that class to teach, and people would come by from other classes, and they said, I wished I could come to that class. I said, come on in. They said, I just feel the power of God just walking by that class. I said, come on in, and if you don't enjoy yourself, I'll give you a refund. There was no offering taken for me to give them a refund with at that time. Hallelujah. But that was a great falling away in Enoch's day, just like there's a great falling away in our day. There was great rebellion, and there was great corruption in Enoch's day, just as there is great rebellion and great corruption in our day. Just look at our nation and the rebellion and the corruption and the crime, and as you look at it, you will realize that our nation is rotting at the core, and we need a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual tsunami. We need for God to wake up the church, shake the church, and for people at that to come and feel the power and the presence of God, get born again, get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that they will be headed to heaven. Somebody go and praise God because you're saved today. Hallelujah. What were the days of Enoch like? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 what those days were like. Look at Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, this is Enoch's day, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And look at verse 39, and knew not. Just like some people don't know that Jesus is getting ready to come. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so all shall be the coming of the Son of Man, my Lord. See, we're looking at Enoch and his time. That was a great falling away. That was great rebellion. That was great corruption. The people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They were blind to the signs of the time, and the Bible says they did not heed the warnings of God. They knew not when the judgment of God came until the flood came and took them all away. But during all this time, there was a man named Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. He pleased God, and he was not, because God took him. And I want you to know that even in a crooked and a perverse generation, that you and I we can walk with God. What were the days like of Enoch? Well, there was a sexual revolution going on during Enoch's day. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating. They were drinking. If it feel good, just do it. Just satisfy and gratify the flesh. My Lord. There was social permissiveness in Enoch's day. Like I said, get all the gusto you can. Satisfy that flesh. Live, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, things haven't changed very much since that day. There are still flesh people, and there are people that are spiritual, and there are people that don't mind the things of the flesh. They give their heart to God. Amen. There are people that do mind the things of the flesh, and they go the way of darkness, and their end shall be destruction. So you need to watch the company that you keep. You know, I believe in going out and I believe in fellowshipping and contacting sinners and showing them the light and the love of God. But I'm not going to get down in their cesspool of sin and iniquity and engage in the activities they do. I decided a long time ago, and I believe I'm preaching to people that decided a long time, I am going to make heaven my eternal home, and you cannot satisfy the lust of the flesh and do lustful sexual sin and expect to end up in heaven. God said, don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he talks about homosexuals and lesbians, effeminates. That's what that word means. Fornicators, adulterers, liars, thieves. And Paul comes along and said, and such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Somebody go on and praise him that you don't go where you used to go. You don't do what you used to do. There's been a change in his life of mine since the Lord laid his hand on me. Aren't you glad for that glorious, wonderful change that Jesus Christ brought? And he broke the chains and the shackles of darkness. Jesus is a chain breaker, and he'll break every chain, praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ will do. And if you didn't get every chain broken, get up anytime you want to, come to this altar, and I'll lay these holy hands upon you, and God will sanctify you wholly in the name of Jesus, and you can be free, free, free. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I have the victory. Am I talking to people that have victory? Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Let's stand and give Jesus a standing ovation and praise him for this great salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord and my God. I've been washed in the blood. Aren't you glad you've been washed, sanctified, justified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire? I love what those old saints used to say. They would say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And my daddy would add, and fire. And he had to find, my mother had to find what was in mother and what was in daddy was getting in me all the time. I just didn't know it. Praise God. But here I am today preaching the glorious gospel because my mother and daddy hungered and thirsted after righteousness. And if you walk like that, it may not look like they're coming in, but your children will come in and you have God's word on it. He said, I'll call your children from the land of the enemy. He said, your children shall prophesy. He said, great shall be the peace of your children. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shall be saved and thy household. Somebody go and praise God right now before it ever happens. Hallelujah. Just go on and praise God before it ever happens, because it will happen. My Lord, that was drunkenness in Enoch's day. Look at this, Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. People had turned away from God. My Lord, there was no fear and no reverence for God. But Enoch walked with God. He pleased God, and he was not, because God took him. Now, Solomon was right when he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when a nation or a family or a church or an individual, when they forget that, there is no way to go but down. I said, when you forget that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, there is no way to go but down. See, we live in an age of social permissiveness. Organized crime is bigger than the federal government. Pornography is a multi-billionaire business. Crime is rampant. Terrorism, defund the police, murder, rape, incest, and our prisons are full. And the world is crying for the answer, but the world doesn't know the person of Jesus Christ, who is the answer. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, is of the world, and the pride of life. Let me throw that one back in there. Amen. So love Jesus, because he's the answer. Therefore, we cannot continue to do what is right in our own eyes. The church needs to hear some good Holy Ghost preaching that slays sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer you want to stay, and I promise you it will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin has a devastating effect. So get your heart right with God. I heard one man, he gave a declaration. He said, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. He said, turn right, stay right, and keep right. That's a good three-point sermon. Turn right, keep right, stay right, and you'll make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we have a real problem in this nation. And the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. We need a revival. We need a spiritual awakening. And guess who it depends upon? God is waiting on the church. He said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We've got the keys. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday. I said it last week, when I can live in Holy Ghost fire today. Hallelujah. I'm determined I'm going to worship God in spirit and in truth and preach the word of God. And if the world don't like it, I'm like old brother Peter. I'd rather please God than please man. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. Woo! I want you to listen to what the Bible says about the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9. Look at this. How many remember what you used to be like? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I tell you, when we were adding sin, we did some things we didn't even realize what we were doing. That's because we had a wicked heart. We were sinners by nature. And that's why you got to be born again. When you get born again, guess what? Sin shall not have dominion over you. You become a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and you get God's divine nature, and he gives you the power to live above sin. Hallelujah. Go on and praise God that you are free. Who can know the heart of man? That's what the word of God says. See, the spirit of the world, it has crept into the church. Television, the news media, Hollywood, the entertainment world. Their influence has infected a whole generation of people. And that seems to be a spirit of slumber that has gripped the church. That is a light, casual, feel-good gospel that's being preached. We have a nation of preachers that are like clouds without rain. And many of them, they will not stand up and preach the truth of God's word because it's unpopular. They are afraid for their paychecks. They are afraid to preach the truth. But God called me, and God will take care of me. And guess what? God will take care of you. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. And he can solve your problems. And you don't have to bow down to Baal or any other false god. Just worship Jesus Christ and lift your head up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when we look at our nation, it should make us want to love God even more and serve him even more. Something happened to this man named Enoch that made him want to walk with God and to please God. Now, I want you to remember that Adam was still living when Enoch was born. And, of course, Adam had walked with God. He had walked with God in the cool of the day. And he had told Enoch about his communion with God. So something got into Enoch's heart that caused him to want to walk with God. And that's why I'm preaching today this message. I want something to get into your heart that will cause you to want to walk with God, to walk close to God. God said, draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God, you are free, and you have the authority to use the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ has already declared your victory. Matter of fact, it's declared your whole family's victory. Glory to God. See, something happened to this man named Enoch. He had heard Adam's testimony that a man could walk with God. And so Enoch decided, I'm going to walk with God. Not only did Enoch walk with God, but he had a testimony that a man could please God. He heard a testimony. Please give your testimony wherever you go. Tell people about what Jesus has done for you. So Enoch, he heard a testimony. Secondly, Enoch walked with God because of a warning that he had received from God. Now, Enoch begat Methuselah. And everybody knows who Methuselah was because he's the oldest man that ever lived. He's the oldest man that ever lived, yet he died before his father died. Let me say that again. He's the oldest man that ever lived, yet Methuselah died before his father died. His father's name was Enoch, and Enoch didn't die. He walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Now, everybody knows that Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, yet few people know what the name Methuselah meant. Now, if you missed our Sunday school lesson, you missed a great lesson this morning. We're talking about Revelation and the seven churches there, and talking about the coming of the Lord. And we found out what some names mean today. And what does Methuselah mean? Well, Methuselah means it shall be sent at his death. Enoch said, God said, Enoch, I want you to name your son, it shall be sent at his death. What shall be sent at his death? The judgment. The judgment shall be sent at his death. What happened when Methuselah died? Judgment came. The flood came. So when Methuselah was born, God sent Enoch a message. And the message was, when that boy of yours dies, judgment is coming upon this earth. So Enoch preached. Enoch was a prophet of God. And his message was a message of judgment. There is a judgment to come. The Bible says it is appointed unto man but once to die, but after that the judgment. I do preach the judgment. I want to tell you, I can preach about God's amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained before the foundation of his world to his glory. You are sitting in church today because God came looking for you. You didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. You are chosen. You are chosen, praise God. He said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. You ought to be sitting here next Sunday with somebody by your side that you led to the Lord or you influenced to come to church, praise God, because you are concerned for their eternal welfare. You can walk with God and you can please God and you can get people saved in Jesus' name. So when Methuselah was born, God said, I want you to know judgment's coming when that old boy dies. So Enoch preached. He had a son that testified that judgment was coming. His name testified to that. But not only was there a warning from God that prompted the fear in Enoch's heart, but he had a word from God, I love this, that produced faith in his heart. I want you to know that fear is not enough to get you to walk with God. You also have to have faith to walk with God. And there's only one thing that can produce faith, and I hold it in my hand. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why I love to go to church. That's why I love to read my Bible. I want to feed my faith and I want to starve my doubts to die. Like old Lester Sumrall taught me, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death. Let them die in Jesus' name. Get full of faith. God said, if you can believe, you shall see the glory of God. These Old Testament examples they're put in there is object lessons to feed our spirit man so we can become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the Bible tells us what faith is. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Faith is always now. Yesterday's faith won't work. You got to have faith right now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You could say now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you want to know what real faith is? Faith is saying it's so when it's not so because God says it's so. That's my definition. Faith says it's so when it's not so. I love this book, Jeremiah. Say, thy words were found and I did eat them. That word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so. Because Father God said it's so. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith calleth the things that be not as though they were. That's why I believe in the rapture. I believe the rapture is going to take place before the rapture takes place because God said the rapture is going to take place. And the just shall live by faith, and Enoch got a word from God, and that word that he got from God produced faith in his heart, and I'm a faith preacher, and if you come here, praise God, you're going to have some faith deposited in your heart, because not me, because of the Holy Ghost anointing that rests upon my life, hallelujah. He called me to do this, and he said, preach, preach, preach. God gave me three things Jesus did. He said, I want you to teach my word, preach my word, and heal the sick. And that's why we see so many miracles in this place. Hallelujah. God is a good God. I believe in the rapture before the rapture takes place because God says the rapture is going to take place. I believe my children are going to be saved. I love you, Jennifer. Hallelujah. Sitting right down the second row. Before they ever got saved, because the Bible says if I would believe God, God would save my seed. And I told the devil, you are not going to have my children. You'll have to wade through the blood of Jesus Christ to get to them because I'm standing between you and them. And by the time you got to me, if you came through the blood, you would be calling me brother. That's how powerful the blood is. But there ain't no blood for the devil. The devil is a spirit. He doesn't have any blood. You've got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the Holy Ghost. Rise up and shine. Your day has come. The glory of God has risen upon thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the just shall live by faith. And Enoch got a word from God that produced faith in his heart. He's listed in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews of faith. Look at Hebrews 11:5. I love this. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, listen to this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God. He communed with God. He diligently sought God. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Nelson? How do you know that this man named Enoch diligently sought God? Well, let's look at the Word of God. Look again at Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now look at verse 6. We love to quote this. Look at it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Look at this. Of them that diligently seek him. That was a man named Enoch. He walked with God. He pleased God. He had a testimony. He was translated. He diligently sought God. And Jesus said, seek me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The prophet Jeremiah said, God spoke to him and said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The half-hearted soon become the faint-hearted. Don't stop halfway. Praise God. Get into this thing. Get full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Set your affection upon things above and not upon things of this earth. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, we're going to disappear. We're going home to glory. Woo! Hallelujah. We're living in that generation, church. My Lord. So Enoch had a warning from God that prompted his fear. And he had a word from God that produced faith. But not everyone in Enoch's day had a reverence and faith in God. And so it is today. I remember this scripture I'm fixing to read when I was a little boy. Look what the Bible warns us about. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Listen to this. For they are willingly ignorant. Wow. Willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the answers were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the waters. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So I ask you, do you believe in the rapture? Do you believe that the judgment of God is going to hit this earth? Do you believe that the Lord is coming? Well, Enoch did way back there, thousands of years ago. Look at Jude verse 14. It's only one chapter, Jude 1:14. And Enoch also, look at this. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Did Enoch believe that the Lord was coming? He said, he's coming. How did Enoch know this? Jesus had not even been born as a baby in a manger at this time. He had not even come the first time to bring us his great salvation. Yet Enoch believed in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached and he prophesied that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he coming, Enoch? He said, he's coming, get ready, he's going to come. Why is he coming, Enoch? Look at verse 15, Jude 1:15. Look, wow, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. May God have mercy upon the sinners in this nation, my Lord. We got talk shows, and we got educated nitwits on television that make fun of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We have a nation of talk shows, social media, that is full of fools because they say there is no God. They blaspheme the name of Jesus. They ridicule his church. They ridicule the cross. They ridicule his resurrection. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And if this nation does not repent, the judgment of God will fall upon ungodly sinners. Now, it's not coming upon the saints. Our judgment was placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross. Hallelujah. You know, you and I, we are covered by the blood. But there's a law that says you reap what you sow. If you sow good, you reap good. If you sow to the flesh, guess what? Of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's a law. There's another law I like. It's Romans 8:28. If you can look it up and put it up, that's not in my notes. I love this law. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If you really want to understand that verse, say it backwards. To those that love God and are called according to his purpose, we know that all things work together for their good. So all things aren't working for your good just because you name the name of Jesus. You've got to love God and you've got to live according to his purpose. God is a good God and God is a just God. But if God lets you live in sin and I couldn't live like that, then God did you better than God did me, he would be unjust. But God says, no, you sow seeds of righteousness. When I got saved, I said, God, my life is all messed up. What's wrong with my life? He said, son, you have sown bad seeds and you got a bad harvest. And then, oh, I love this book. Dear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you will sow to my word, I will bless your life. And I've been sowing good seed ever since. That's why I love those seed time, harvest time principles that Brother Elam does. Glory to God. You take the word of God, you take that seed, and you plant it in faith, and you water it with your prayers and your tears if you have to, and up, praise God's gonna come the fruit of that seed that you sowed, and God watches over his word to perform it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Enoch had a testimony, and Enoch started preaching. He said, he's coming, keep your eyes on Methuselah, because when that boy dies, the judgment is coming. Enoch said, Methuselah's going to die. And when he does, the judgment is coming. Enoch said, he's going to die, listen to this, but I'm going to be gone before the judgment comes. Ah, I like that. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I may die, but if I do die, I'm ready to die because I know Jesus. I'm like old brother Paul, for I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody go and praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you know him? See, I may die, but I'm not sure that I'm going to die. You may die, but I'm not sure that you're going to die. When I read about Enoch and look at the signs of his time, all those signs point and indicate that the coming of the Lord is going to be very soon. As it was in the days of Enoch, so shall it be in our day. But Enoch walked with God. He pleased God, and he was not, because God took him. And I want you to know something. You can walk with God. Not only do I want you to see Enoch and his time, not only do I want you to see Enoch and his testimony, but thirdly, I want you to see Enoch and his translation. Now, I want you to remember this, that Adam was still living when Enoch was born. He was the great, 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 hallelujah, granddaddy. He was the seventh from Adam. So Adam was there. Adam had talked to Enoch, just like I'm talking to you today. And I can imagine how Enoch walked with Adam and how he told Adam about the beautiful Garden of Eden. And I can imagine how he told him how God would come down and walk with him in the cool of the day. And Adam would tell Enoch, Enoch, I used to walk with God. God would come down and visit the garden and we would have fellowship and I would commune with God and we would walk together and it was such a beautiful time together. Enoch, I used to walk with God, but you can't walk with God anymore. So Enoch, he began to diligently seek God. And God began to reveal himself to Enoch. God says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I want to tell you, you can walk with God because of the blood of Jesus. And you can have a testimony that pleases God. Enoch did. He walked with God. He pleased God. And he was not, because God took him. I like to think about it like this. One day, as Enoch was walking with God, he got so close to heaven that God took him. I can imagine them walking together, God and Enoch, and they just strolling, having communion like we do at times. And God looks over to Enoch and he said, "Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come on home with me?" And he was caught away and raptured into the glory of God. Do you know what's going to happen sooner than I think most of us really believe? Jesus is going to come. In the days of Noah, God had a plan, and he prepared an ark, and he told the people, "Come in." In the days of Lot, God had a plan. He sent his angels to Sodom, and he told his people, "Come out." God has a plan right now, and he's about to send his son Jesus to get his bride and say, "Come up." Hallelujah. Woo! By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was raptured. He was translated, caught up, that he should not see death. And you and I, church, we could be living in the generation that experiences the rapture of the church. The Bible tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I bring you comfort today. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words." Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Not another Jesus. The same Jesus that died on the cross. The same Jesus that rose again from the dead. The same Jesus that ascended back to the Father. The same Jesus that left on a cloud. He left on a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. He left in a body. He's coming back in a body. He left with the angels. He's coming back with the angels. He left in power. He's coming back in great power. He left with glory. He's coming back in great glory. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Somebody go on and praise God that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. This same Jesus and not another. That is the blessed hope of the church. Look at Titus 2:13. I love this. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purify us unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Hallelujah. He's coming back. And church, we need to keep a clear vision of the Lord's coming. There are some people that think the church will go through the tribulation, but God always gets his people out before judgment. If you open your Bible and read the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, John the Revelator said, "I saw a great door open." That's where the church leaves. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is coming soon. My question is, are you ready to meet him? Let us stand. You can walk with God. Maybe you're here today and you have never made that commitment. I want you to hear this song. I want you to worship the Lord. If you don't know him, I want you to get up from where you are. I want you to walk down this aisle. Say, "Lord, I believe you are the Son of the living God. I know I'm a sinner. I need to be born again. Come into my heart." Turn it up a little bit, please. Don't pass me by, Lord. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If you're watching by live stream, and he's knocking at your door, you don't have to perish. You can be saved. Just pray this. Say, "Lord, you've spoken to my heart. I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Wash me in your precious blood, Lord. Cleanse me from all sin. I open the door just as I would for any guest, and I invite you to come in. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. And then tell him, I thank you that I'm saved. When the Holy Ghost starts talking to you, and you pray something just that simple and mean it from your heart, the Holy Ghost will take the blood and apply it to your heart, and you will be born again. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how easy it is to get saved. God says, no man comes to me unless I call him, but he's calling.
The spring of my comfort, more than life to me. On earth I have been
inside. You got a special prayer? Just whisper it to the Lord right now. While we're under this corporate anointing,
I'm crying, Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Savior.
Lord, it's me. I'm the one that needs help, Lord. And I cry out to you. Riches of his mercy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. To remain standing in the Lord's presence. If you would play that CD that Brother Ray sang earlier. I want you to enjoy the presence of God. Tonight, Reverend Adam Folsom will be preaching, and we got special music lined up by him, and then Quentin Hedspeth will be coming, playing the piano and singing, the man you just heard there. And Teresa and I want y'all to remember us in prayer, because we're going to be taking those little grandchildren back up to those Smoky Mountains, and we want you to have a good time worshiping God, and we'll pick you up on Facebook. Amen. Brother Ray.
Hallelujah. Almighty God, praise the Lord. Praise God.
You're my joy, you're my peace. You're my comfort in time of need. You're my refuge, you're my rock, You're the one I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim. When the raging storms come crashing in, you're my anchor in troubled storms, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace. You're my comfort in time of need. You're my refuge, you're my rock. You're the one I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim. When the raging storms come crashing in, you're my anchor in troubled storms, Almighty God. You bore the cross. You bear the scars. You're my strong and mighty time. You gave me light that I might see the kind of man that I should be. You gave your life to set me free, Almighty God. You bore the cross. You bear the scars. You're my strong and mighty tower. You gave me life that I might see the kind of man that I should be. You gave your life to set me free, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace. You're my comfort in time of need. You're my refuge, you're my rock. You're the one I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim. When the raging storms come crashing in, you're my anchor in troubled storms, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace. You're my comfort in time of need. You're my refuge, you're my rock. You're the one that I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim. When the raging storm come crashing in, you're my anchor in troubled storm, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace. You're my comfort in time of need. You're my refuge, you're my rock. You're the one I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim. When the raging storms come crashing in, you're my anchor in troubled storms, Almighty God. You're my anchor in troubled storms, Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus. We want to maintain social distancing, so we're going to dismiss from the front, from the back rather, to the rear. If you would.